We're very happy to welcome in Randy Cross, former offensive lineman, a three-time Super Bowl champ with the Niners, here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Randy, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Sure enjoyed that game yesterday. That was awfully fun to watch.
Well, as a former offensive lineman, I mean, that's just got to be straight-up football pornography for a guy like you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's about as close as it gets when you have eight passes for the winning team. And, you know, the story doesn't get any better than, you know, the whole thing around Raheem Mostert. So, I mean, it's all the way around. It was just a pleasure to watch. The whole family enjoyed it.
You talked about the eight passes, and I know that you never had a game like that in your years in San Francisco because, well, among other things, you worked for Bill Walsh. When you were looking at that and you were noticing that, hey, they're not throwing the ball at all, what went through your mind? Because that's the kind of football that, frankly, predates even you in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a flashback to my old days in college when we ran the wishbone in the Houston Veer. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of throwback, just like, you know, Tennessee was throwback for a couple of weeks there, you know, when they were terrorizing people with the run. But they do it in San Francisco a totally different way. It's not like, you know, it's not the old, to give you an old reference there, Ratto, it wasn't like Billy Jack. You know, I'm going to take the right side of my foot and put it on the right side of your face, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's completely different because the personnel, the formations, the motion, the different looks that Shanahan gives these defenses, you can really understand how they get kind of flat-footed and how these running backs get, A, through the line of scrimmage because they're getting good blocking, or they get the edge because everybody's just watching.
When you watch the non-offensive line guys on this team, I'm struck by how many excellent blockers that are not offensive linemen are here. Is this about as good a group of wide receiver, tight end, fullback blockers that you'll see?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody talks, you know, about Kittle and how good he is, but how many examples did you see, you know, last night of, you know, pick a guy, you know, whether it was, you know, was it Debo or, you know, whoever, they were getting downfield and they were making blocks, and that's contagious. That starts with the guys up front, and I think that's a phenomenon you see predominantly on teams that haven't forgot that the fullback and the tight end are important parts of an offense to have. And, you know, not everybody is going to be successful and run the, you know, the pure, you know, spread everybody out and flip it around kind of style.
Randy Cross here on 95.7 The Game. As an offensive lineman, you spend all sorts of time blocking the other team's best pass rusher. Nick Bosa has separated himself from his rookie class in an extraordinary way. When you look at him, is it brute strength? Is it hand speed? Is it foot speed? What jumps out to you about Bosa's game?
Well, what really impresses, you know, I think anybody that looks at it and that has either been on that end or on the receiving end of that kind of effort, is two things to me. The technique is excellent. And number two, and probably more important, he's going as hard as he can. I've never been a big guy to say, oh, well, he's going 110%. Well, that's not possible. You can go as hard as you can. That's all you can do. But I'll be damned. He does it every single play. And that's what impresses me the most about Bosa. And I think that's what's going to serve him well here in the next several years, because he's obviously a guy that trains, you know, kind of out of his mind most of the time. And the way he plays, he's got to be in that kind of shape. But, you know, his technique and his effort, I think, are highly, highly unusual.
Well, Randy, I mean, we've heard this from Richard Sherman. I think we've heard it from George Kittle. Something that jumps out to me is that these guys really love playing football, which you'd think would walk hand in hand with every professional football player. It does not. Mm-hmm. It's a job to some of these guys. And when it's not a job and it's a passion, like, I think that's where you see the player who jumps out a little bit more than it might be the other guy's just job. Like, it's relentless.
Well, I think that also goes back to the front office, and it goes back to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and sort of the profile they build on what they want a Niner to be, and that it has to be a guy that loves the game. And you've been around this game a long time, Ray. You know, if we're lucky, half the players that play professional football really love football. Maybe half. The other half are there because they're getting paid a boatload of money. But the guys that would really, you know, you look at them and you go, I'm not completely sure if that guy wouldn't do it for free. they're kind of unusual. And the guys that really love the game and just love playing, period, are the ones that I think, A, tend to jump out at you, but B, are, you know, they're not the exception to the rule, but, man, they're easy to spot.
How much of that love, though, comes with no longer failing? I mean, a year ago, this was a team that won 4 games. The year before that, it was a team that won 6. So how much of that love has to be inculcated in training camp, and how much of it develops over time when you're getting a weekly reward for that?
Yeah, you know, I've always contended that it's easy to be on a 14-2 team. But the guys that really have to like it are the ones that are on a 2-14 team. And to see what's gone on with this team, with winning 4 games last year and then suddenly the next year, and I don't know if there's a point of reference for this, but 4-1 year and Super Bowl the next. Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to lie to you and tell you it's not easier and a lot more fun to play when you're winning, because when you're winning, that's what it is all about. But, you know, I think that the guys that truly, truly love the game are just the ones that tend to stand out in a crowd the most. I mean, everybody loves it when you're winning.
When you look at the way this team was built, because I think we've talked about that a lot with Lynch and Shanahan and how quick the turnaround was, one thing we've looked at a lot is that they seem to really prefer, on both sides of the ball, players who have a diverse skill set, guys who can do a bunch of different things. And I just wonder if that... How similar is that to the teams that you played on here, that we're looking for guys here who have a variety of talents?
Well, that's something that, you know, versatility was something Bill Walsh deeply valued. I mean, your star players are your star players, but, you know, in the days, once you get to the pro level and you've got limited numbers, you've got to have guys that can do a bunch of different things. In fact, you know, it was a running joke, you know, with us, was, you know, the more things you can do, the faster you wear out. But because they'll take advantage of it. If you can do a lot of things, you'll get a chance to do a lot of things. But, yeah, I think that's a good observation. I think that's something that you build into the profile of the kind of team that you want. And we've talked about this in the past when I've been on with you guys. This all started with what seemed to be a simple thing at the time, and that's giving both Shanahan and Lynch those 6-year contracts, which most organizations don't do that. And that gave them sort of the patience and the time, I think, and they got right to it. But you see that paying off in spades right now.
Randy Cross here on 95.7 The Game. Again, you've gone to 3 Super Bowls, and it's a bear unto itself. I've always said you got to kind of see it with your own eyes before you can appreciate the size and the scope and the attention that this game heaps on the players that are participating in it. Beyond getting ready for your opponent, what was the biggest pain in the ass of Super Bowl week for you? Is it like tickets for the family, just coordinating with the media, keeping the media off your back? Like, what element of the Super Bowl week is officially unlike the rest?
Well, you know, the whole tickets and hotel room thing, that's this week coming up. That was always something that, you know, I think Bill made a real concerted effort, and he was one of the first ones to spend a lot of time on it, where you did a lot of that and your game planning the week before the game. The worst thing about Super Bowl week is it's not at home, and it's cabin fever. I mean, you're either in a meeting or you're in a press conference or you're in practice, and then when you actually have time off, you're spending a lot of time in a hotel. And you're spending a lot of time in a hotel room because it is a fishbowl. And the best, you know, and you convince yourself pretty quick, you know, the best thing for me is probably to do a lot of time in a hotel, keep me off the streets.
When was the last day that you went out at night on Super Bowl week? Was it because I always heard it was Tuesday unless you were the Chicago Bears in 1985.
Yeah, I'll never forget standing up in a meeting on Friday morning before Super Bowl 16 and saying, you know, guys, we're having a lot of fun. You know, maybe we all had to sort of back off a little bit here and start resting up for the game. And, you know, Ronnie Lott immediately looked over at me and goes, nah, it's working. The hell with them. Let's keep going. But, yeah, it was probably Friday, I would say. And Friday was sort of the cutoff where you go out and go to a restaurant and maybe have a couple of beers or something. And Saturday was they kept you pretty busy anyway on Saturdays. But Friday was the cutoff. Of course, you got to remember, we played one at home. We played one in Pontiac, Michigan, where the biggest entertainment was doing donuts in a frozen parking lot. And then we played one down in Miami, my last game, Super Bowl 23, where, you know, half the city was on fire when we got there because of the riots. So there were some unique situations.
Very festive.
Yes, very festive.
That said, you said you felt like you were in a fishbowl, but I'm wondering which Super Bowl that would have been, given the fact that one was at Stanford, where there are no fishbowls except where the students work.
Yeah.
One was in Pontiac, where you were neck deep in snow the entire week, and the other one was Riot Miami. So when did the fishbowl come in?
I would say the first one and the last one, because you are sort of in a hotel or you're in a restaurant and you're constantly around people. That's one thing about regular season. You can kind of get away. You can escape, melt into the crowd. There's no melting at a Super Bowl. There is no way, especially now. That's one thing I've really noticed over the last 15 or 20 years. It's almost like everybody's pictures on a post office wall or something, because when they walk into a bar or they go into a place, hey, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so. It's like, wow. But, yeah, no, there was still plenty of fishbowl in those opportunities. At home it wasn't. I mean, hell, at home we had to actually ask Bill if we could go into the hotel a day early because all the family and the craziness going on around us.
Where are you going to be watching the Super Bowl? How does Randy Cross get down on Super Bowl Sunday?
That is a TBD right now. I love Super Bowl week. I just my favorite place to watch a Super Bowl is at home with my family on a great big screen. Get out the barbecue and have some fun, and I'll be able to run everything back. And you know, at the stadium and all that stuff lost its appeal unless I'm broadcasting a long time ago with those kind of crowds.
Randy, great to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for all the memories. And no matter what you end up doing, I hope you got plenty of guacamole to do it with. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Yeah, got to have those avocados, heck.